PRB Magazine presents. Green roof benefits outpace adoption. Although a powerful conservation tool, maintenance, and funding limit widespread installation. By Jeffrey Spivey. Read by Sean Price. For more than a decade, green roofs have taken hold in various North American cities, with some serving a purely ecological purpose, while others have grown into major tourist attractions. Despite this track record, many park departments are simply testing them out in lieu of larger plans. Take, for instance, the garden roof in Seattle's Ross Playground. The roof project was essentially a trial, an experiment that the Seattle Public Utilities wanted to run with Seattle Parks, says Riddick Aramido, senior architect for Seattle Parks and Recreation's Planning and Capital Development Branch. Located in the city's Fremont neighborhood, the green roof sits atop a dual-purpose building that houses public restrooms and a meeting space. Caramado says its primary purpose was to measure stormwater outfall from the roof before and after the installation, with the roof acting as a test case for green stormwater solutions throughout the city. The project wasn't intended to be long-term. Grant funds covered the initial install and up to 3 years of maintenance, but the roof garden remains in place. It may have served as the push Seattle Parks and Recreation, SPR, needed. Carmelo says two new green roof projects were underway, atop a one-story structure within the Seattle Children's Play Garden and as part of the Northwest Native Canoe Center, which is moving forward in collaboration with the United Indians of All Tribe. But, by and large, municipalities have been slow to adapt. Greg Raymond, president of ecological systems company EcoGardens, suggests that parks often have other green stormwater options available due to their wider swaths of green space. Urban areas, on the other hand, don't have as many choices. So, part of the reluctance may come from the many possibilities. Since 2006, EcoGardens has focused on various components of green stormwater infrastructure, including bioswales, rain gardens, and green roofs, among other living system solutions. However, some of the roadblocks might be due to budget concerns. Green roofs in general can be quite expensive, he says. A lot of times, it is more expensive up front, but you're getting a lot better ROI and payback environmentally, long term. The benefits of green roofs go beyond the obvious. Perhaps most apparent are the stormwater management features, as green roofs reduce runoff. However, Caramado also points to the improved lifespan of the roof membrane underneath the vegetation. The buildings themselves have a much longer roof lifespan if it's well maintained because it's not exposed to the sun and the UV rays and the cold and hot weather as much, he says. Raymond estimates buildings with green roofs could see the roof lifespan increase 2 or 3 fold. That can translate to 30 to 50 years of roof membrane life, as opposed to 7 to 15 years. Additionally, there are thermal benefits, with soil adding additional insulation to buildings and reducing energy use. And the plant pallet provides a natural environment for pollinators, as well as a range of other birds, insects, and small mammals. Furthermore, Caramido says green roofs bring a sense of tranquility to parks, facilitating a deeper understanding of green infrastructure among visitors. In contrast, NYC Parks, which maintains more than 250,000 square feet of green roofs, looks at how the ecological elements can benefit residents even when the roofs are out of view. The majority of our green roofs are inaccessible to the public, says Leroy Temple, NYC Parks Assistant Commissioner for Citywide Services. The focus is more on improving quality of life in disadvantaged neighborhoods by mitigating the urban heat island effect, providing cleaner air, and reintroducing green spaces into urban environments. On the aesthetic side, at Chicago's Lurie Garden, Raymond's team worked on a garden on top of a maintenance building. The building sits underneath a bridgeway that connects to the Art Institute of Chicago. Visitors passing by can take in the sights and experience the garden within the context of the larger green space, an unexpected benefit. Raymond says that green roofs are acting as teaching mechanisms for residents and also for youth who may one day become engineers or landscape architects. He says, they're great to look at, but they're also tools for stormwater management. They're tools for pollinator habitat. They're bridgeways to get from one asphalt area to another. Those are all things to consider when looking at why these are being conceived. When it comes to launching green roof projects, the greenest elements are the most important. Caramado suggests they begin with landscaping. For example, He says, a low-height roof might require low-height vegetation, so native ground cover plants may be the best choice. Given that these plants don't require hefty supporting trays, the installation can be relatively easy. Larger roofs, especially those meant for public use, for example, a third-story balcony, can incorporate larger plants, especially if the intent is to make vegetation visible from ground level. This requires a deeper system and greater load on the roof. These are all factors that must be considered before a project gets fully underway. Concerning roof load, Raymond echoes these concerns. He says the typical green roof weighs between 5 to 7 pounds per square foot, per inch of depth, and that's a saturated weight. In the Midwest, where Raymond does many of his projects, green roofs are at least 3 inches thick. But the drier the climate, the deeper these systems become to accommodate irrigation. Raymond also stresses a holistic approach that considers environmental impact at every step. One approach that we try to do on any green roof is how do we make the structure that we're putting the green roof on top of invisible from an environmental standpoint? He says, if that building or that structure wasn't there, and it was raining, where would that rain go, or how would that rain be treated? We're doing that same thing, but on a man-made structure. From a funding perspective, Raymond says municipalities should search for federal or other grants intended for stormwater management projects. There are also opportunities to work with public utilities to split costs or pool funds. Though, for many municipalities, the greatest challenges begin once the installation process is finished. Without question, maintenance is essential for green roofs, but it's also a hindrance to more widespread adoption. Karamito says one of the reasons SPR hasn't embarked on more of these projects is the lack of specialty staff with green roof expertise. Our grounds maintenance team is trained to operate on grounds, not on roofs, he says. The green roofs at the Seattle Children's Playgarden and Northwest Native Canoe Center will be managed by tenants, helping to sidestep this issue. He hopes these types of partnerships will pave the way for in-house teams that can eventually oversee maintenance throughout the park system. In the meantime, however, part of what's challenging about green roof maintenance is safety. Karamito says that building heights require use of equipment like man lifts and lanyard systems to prevent falls. This requires not only having the equipment on hand, but also training maintenance team members to use the equipment. Then there's the issue of actually conducting maintenance on a roof. Ground maintenance in the ground, you can pretty much dig all you want, Karamito says, stating that crews might not encounter underground utilities until they reach a depth of 2 feet. On the roof, you're typically limited to a foot or so depending on the plant palette. This limits the tools crews can use because many ground maintenance tools can significantly damage the roof membrane, leading to costly repairs. Maintenance must also take place regularly. Raymond says most sites in the Midwest require a minimum of 4 visits per year, but in other climates, more frequent work, which includes pulling weeds, fertilizing, conducting soil tests, and getting rid of invasive species, may be required. On roofs where shrubs and trees might be present, vigilance around invasive species is especially important. Woody plants can be troublesome because of the ways they penetrate shallow systems. If that happens and they go unchecked, it could cause a catastrophic collapse of the roof, Raymond says. In more widespread systems, like that of NYC Parks, the maintenance needs depend on the size and type of roof. Temple says all sites receive maintenance at least once a year, but sites installed in the last 2 years are monitored more closely. Maintenance tasks include checking drain clearance, examining any damage to the white coat, searching for leaks, weeding, and deadheading native plants. This site specificity offers a window into green roof best practices, which encompass many parts of the process. Karamito says green roofs work best on low-height buildings like public restrooms because the roofs are visible from ground level. They can help tell a story when they're visible versus in a high building, where it's sort of out of sight, out of mind, he says. The garden roof at Ross Playground includes educational features like downspouts along the sidewalk to help visitors see the stormwater management elements in action. If low-height structures are new builds, that's even better. Karamito says that new constructions can work in roofs with the right structural elements from the beginning of the process. Retrofitting older buildings proves difficult because they have challenging structural limitations and also because of modern building codes. Existing buildings may have been constructed according to codes that are now outdated, Adding a green roof may require other updates that cause a project budget and timeline to balloon. Raymond says that municipalities should pull in third-party consultants to get the full story on installation and maintenance, and everyone involved should be open-minded about the paths the green roof can take. Collaboration is key, but so are realistic expectations. Teams should be thoughtful about the structures they're choosing for green roofs and should be prepared for long-term care. Once projects are in progress, Caramido stresses the need for a dedicated green roof maintenance team, which will work primarily on these properties and not pull away from the ground maintenance crew. Having the right maintenance and training for them is a key component, Caramido says. Once new projects come to the table, knowing that we have this workforce able to take care of the green roofs, I think we would be able to add more.